AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning. Davis Michelson is here as well.
Yes, sir.
And joining us once again on the first Wednesday of a brand new month is Dr. James Mintert. He is the director of the Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chip. Good to talk to you as well.
Yep, good, good, okay. Let's get to the bottom line here, because the overall ag economy barometer index just inched a touch higher in July. Tell us why.
Yeah, so that's a good point. It did just inch higher, just a couple of points compared to June, but it's up about 20 points compared to last year, and I think that's significant. Uh-huh. And in fact, if you go back to last summer, late spring, we actually had an index that was below 100. So it's actually a significant improvement when you look at it from a little longer term perspective. And underneath it, you know, particularly this month, the driver was current condition improvement. Current condition index was up 5 points. That's about 11% higher than it was a year ago. Future expectation didn't move much this month, but it is significantly higher than a year ago. It's up about 24% compared to a year ago. So people became more optimistic about what was going on their farms. And it was kind of interesting given what was taking place with respect to commodity prices. And I think you and I might have talked about this last month and maybe even the month before, Chip. But, you know, one of the challenges here is you're looking at bad weather giving us stronger commodity prices, but good weather gives us weaker commodity prices, but maybe you feel better about your own yield prospects. And I think we had some of that going on this month, right?
Yep. I think you've probably nailed it right there, Jim, because when we got into June, attitudes were bad on their expectations for the crop. Improved in July, and I think that's probably got a lot to do with this. And just the simple fact, Jim, that these markets they've given opportunities. It sounds to me that some more and more producers have taken advantage of the markets that were given to them and increased their new crop marketings.
Well, that could be. We don't have a good measure of that. But clearly, people have managed to navigate the volatility. And I think that was one of the things that led me to be a little bit surprised about the improvement. I thought perhaps we'd see some negative things show up just relative to the fact that these markets have been so volatile. That alone can create some stress, as you know, from your many years of experience as a market analyst, right? So that was one of the challenges. But it was really an interesting survey in terms of people feeling a little bit better about their farm's financial performance, feeling a little bit better about making large capital investments. So really a cautious improvement there. And that's kind of why we use that headline about cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, good. Not much change in their expectations of the future.
No, not this month, but I think it is kind of interesting to think about where both that current condition index and that future expectation index were this time last year. When you look at it from that perspective, there's a significant difference, which again is a little surprising. You know, when you talk to a lot of market analysts, for example, the expectation is going to be for some weaker incomes going forward. We're not really picking that concern up in our surveys, at least yet. So that's kind of an interesting perspective from the standpoint of producers.
Okay. What are the concerns going forward? You know, in the past, we've talked about interest rates and we've talked about input costs. Are those still on the list?
Yeah, they are. I mean, the number one concern continues to be input cost and just the fact that they're high. But rising interest rates is becoming more and more important. And this really shows up when we ask people who say now is a bad time to make large investments. Why do you feel that way? We started asking that question last summer. And if you look at the chart that we have on our website with respect to that responses to that, it's really kind of interesting. Last summer, when we asked that question, between 14 and 18% of the people in the survey were telling us that rising interest rates were a primary reason for it being a bad time to make large investments. And almost half, not quite, but between 44 and 49% of the people in the survey were saying it was about the increase in prices for farm machinery and new construction. You look at the more recent surveys, and it's clear that interest rates rising is becoming a bigger and bigger concern. In fact, this month, almost 40%, 39% of the people in the survey chose rising interest rates as the biggest reason why they thought it was a bad time to make large investments. And the increase in prices for farm machinery and new construction was down to 29%. You know, last summer, that was between 44 and 49%. So that concern hasn't gone away. But increasingly, people are more and more concerned about what are these rising interest rates doing to my investment returns? What are they going to do, yeah, you know, looking down the road to my operating expenses? So that's becoming a bigger and bigger concern. And we had two-thirds, 65% of the people in the survey this month said they expect interest rates to go up over the course of the next year.
I saw that. Yeah, that Powell's message really hasn't gotten out to him at this point, or they just don't believe him.
I think they don't believe it. That's my own intuition, right? I don't actually have any survey data to support that, but my own intuition is that they're just not as optimistic as what the Fed's telling us.
Right, right. So the question, do you think that a year from now, your farm operation will be better off financially, worse off, or just about the same as now? 21% said better, 31%, and these aren't, you know, major shifts month to month, but I like what you're doing comparing year to year. 31% are saying that it's going to be worse, Jim.
But a year ago, roughly 50% were saying that.
Right.
And I think that's the context you have to evaluate it, as opposed to looking at the raw numbers. You have to kind of think about how it's changed over time. So people are feeling better relative to where they felt, what they felt about their operation this time last year. Because same story on the percentage of feeling better about their operation a year from now. A year ago, that was around 12 or 13%. So when you look at it from that longer term perspective, people are feeling better about things today than they were last summer, which I think is really interesting, given where we're at with respect to net farm income, for example.
Yep.
Jim, I'm really interested by a question that you asked regarding cover crop usage.
Yeah.
According to your report here, 45% of the corn and soybean farmers in this month's survey indicated they currently use cover crops. Some really interesting data here.
It is interesting. And the first time we asked this question, we've asked it now, I think, four different times. It was a big surprise to us. But we didn't include this question this month, but in some previous surveys, we've followed up and asked people about what percent of your acreage are you putting cover crops on. And it's we've got a large number of people who are telling us that they're putting cover crops out. You look at other survey data and it doesn't match up with the acreage under cover crops.
Right.
We clearly don't have 45% of the acres, particularly in the corn and soybean area, under cover crops. But what's taken place is a lot of people are experimenting with cover crops on small percentages of their total farming operation. Maybe they've targeted a particular farm or a particular field, or maybe they're just putting a few acres out to learn about it. Yeah. So there's a lot of people experimenting with cover crops. But then when you follow up and say, well, what percent of your operation? It was a high percentage that said they were doing it on less than 25% of their acreage. So
I think they're figuring it out, Jim.
That's exactly right. And this summer on the farm management tour here in Indiana, one of the farms we had, the Roland farm, really featured cover crops. That was really one of the big stories on that particular farm. And they've been doing cover crops, I think, for about 15 years, and they're still in that experimental stage. They do it on all their acreage, but they keep adjusting and making changes every year and learning a little bit more. And so it's a process if you're going to use cover crops.
It certainly is. Certainly is. We've got about a minute left here. Tell me about how the farmers, their expectations on farmland values.
people are pretty optimistic about farmland values. So, you know, just for reference, anytime the index, either the short-term or the long-term index, is above 100, that means more people tell us they think farmland values are going up than going down. So we've consistently been above 100 on both of these indices. So we always get more people saying they're going up than going down.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is we had kind of a drifting down in terms of, you know, we were losing some optimism about farmland values going back to really maybe beginning of 2022, late 2021, that those index numbers were drifting lower. These last couple of months, they've really come back pretty strongly, especially on the short-term index. The short-term index jumped in June. This month, it really didn't do anything. It went down 1 point. You compare it to a year ago, it's only 2 points lower than a year ago. And that short, longer term index, which asks people about their 5-year outlook with respect to farmland values, no change this month, 1 point higher than a year ago, and the same as it was 2 years ago. So people are still pretty optimistic about farmland values. And I would say more optimistic than they were, for example, last winter.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic perspective, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chip. We'll look forward to visiting with you next month.
Absolutely. Dr. James Mintert, director of the Purdue University Center for Commercial Ag. Farmer Forum next.